about 10 years, and she was just a city girl, and I didn't work out. So when I was 4 years old, I remember having a birthday. I was on a train in San Bernardino, but we were on our way to Seattle. And Esther never drove a car. She always walked. I remember walking all over down to Lake Washington, to Seward Park. I'd take the bus there when I was little, to downtown Seattle. I mean, at age six, I think I could have taken the bus by myself on there. Back then, it wasn't that serious. And we'd have lunch together at Presley's and drink the shakes and watch the grilled cheese sandwiches go around in the machine. And she took me, I went to my first play at the Orpheum Theater. I remember that. It was the Washington Plaza Hotel, this real elegant, grand theater. And I remember watching My Fair Lady, and they opened the curtain and I see the stage changing. I was just fascinated. And she just opened my eyes to that world and many worlds beyond that. You see, I still hum the show tunes when I hear the song from My Fair Lady or Funny Girl or some of those songs now that I haven't heard in years. But growing up in the mid-60s, you know, we had our ups and downs, and I really saw the independent, self-reliant side of my mom. My dad was a long-distance truck driver, and so oftentimes we didn't get out and go on vacations, and so my mom would pack three boys and all their belongings and get us into a Greyhound bus and go places like Seaside, Oregon. I remember going to Soap Lake, Washington, getting up really, really early and catching the Princess Marguerite to go up to Victoria, B.C. like at 5 in the morning. Those things were just, you know, opening my eyes to a young boy. But in the mid-60s, she had a major challenge, her and my dad. They didn't get along, and they went their separate ways. And, you know, in the 60s, it was kind of a man's world. They handled the finances, did the work, ran the household. And so my mom, she began working full-time, took care of the household, continued taking us places. And so I really looked up to my mom, what a strong little person she was. And during this time, she also went to night school. So she'd work 8 hours a day, go to night school, and come home 8, 9 o'clock, just bush. And so I began cooking dinner and having food ready for her. In 69, she lost her mother, and then my grandfather moved in with us, and she took care of him for about 5 years. So she was a very busy person. And all throughout that, she still, you know, supported to my brothers and me. She sent my brothers to trade school. She sent me to college, the first one in our family to go through college. And I thought, if this, you know, woman making modest wages can send me to college, doggone it, I'm going to send my kids to college. And I was fortunate enough to be in a place where I could. So her self-determination, her self-reliance was, and her independence was an inspirational and a good role model for me to grow up and deal with life's challenges and life's ups and downs that are thrown in front of you. And one of her passions was travel. She loved to travel, and as witness Michael's early fits with us. And eventually she started going to Europe. Took a bus trip all over the U.S. by herself. You could buy those unlimited passes from Greyhound back when they still ran everywhere. Eventually she went to Asia, Africa, Australia. And we were debating whether she made it to South America or not.
Israel,
yeah. And finally, at age 80, in the year 2000, she took her final European trip. And she even acknowledged over there, wow, this is kind of grueling. But what's special about that, she was accompanied by my brother Gene and two of my children, who they opened their eyes at Fairbrook and around high school. And so they got to travel as a family through Europe. And they still love to travel. Gene's continued to travel. My kids have been to Europe, back to Europe more times than I have. And they all caught that travel bug and thirst for adventure. In fact, my daughter is living in Spain because she loves it over there so much. The other thing important to Esther was friends and family. Those are some of the most important things in her life, and she gave me a lot of sacrifices for her family. She never spoke a harsh word. She loved her grandchildren, all of them. And course, when I married April, she deemed a daughter because April was like a daughter to her, and mom was like a mom to April. Some of the favorite times were the Sunday gatherings and having dinner together, holiday gatherings. I often lived out of town, out of state. I can always, you know, I didn't make the weekend gatherings every month, once a year. But when I did make it, I always kind of seen my brothers and other family members. But one person who was always there was Jean. He used to take her shopping. He was there almost every week without exception. He'd take her on appointments to the doctor, to shopping, go visit her friends. Drives along Lake Washington, past her old house we grew up in. When she came to Alaska to visit me and my family, Jean accompanied her. And in Alaska, and then when we moved to Vancouver, Washington, Jean would take her down to every Thanksgiving. She really looked forward to that, coming down to see us. And she had a sweet tooth, and all of us helped fulfill that. She loved her licorice and her hard candy. She never said a harsh word about friends. She was always loyal to others. She would correspond with many of her friends until people stopped writing or they passed away themselves. She worked at the Bon-Marché for over 20 years, and we continued to meet her friends for lunch throughout retirement until they started disappearing. When you're 94, you outlast most of your friends. She spent 29 years at Vantage Glen Retirement Community here in King County, here in King County, Rutland. And she was very active with the social club. She was the treasurer. One of her favorite things, every month they take the bus to the casino. You go to the casino and play the penny slots. I'd be honored to her. She was go with the friends at Vantage Glen, silver sneakers, exercises classes once a week. And I think they had spaghetti dinners somewhere they'd go every week, or people would take her. And the last few years, she had a friend named Marge Vandenberg who I would be there and the phone would ring and she'd answer and go, "Yeah, I'm still alive." So they were checking on each other, which I thought was just great. And as long as Marge drove, she would take her to the store when she could. So, and her last year was in a senior living facility and at a home situation. And it was a great place. She loved the people that took care of her. One of the ladies was named Esther, and the other was Paula. And it was a very home environment. The girl would run around. I'd come in. The cat would be on her lap. And she used to love the food there. She always said they fed her well. So the last year of her life was very peaceful. And sorry, she lived a full life, had a passion for traveling, was loyal to her friends and family, and was an inspiration in dealing with life's changes and challenging, and always moving forward and not looking back. She was full of love for family and friends, and as Jean put it, she was a kind soul. One of her favorite songs was from Stevie Wonder, and I'm going to end on that. I'm just going to say, I just called to say I love you, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you, Ron. I just wanted to reflect on a few things.